Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Re'eh. But besides being Parshas Re'eh, it's also Shabbos Mevarchim Elul. It's the Shabbos before the month of Elul, starting the preparation for the new year, which in Mirza Hashem will be a year with amazing brachas in a revealed good way. So we know that all the Parshas that we read, the Shabbos Re'eh, which is often read in Elul actually, but this week is Shabbos Mevarchim Elul, and all the other parshas, they all have a connection to Elul. There's amazing secrets in these parshas that are all connected to Elul. I want to share with you today two ideas. One idea in the parsha, but before I do that, I'm going to just share with you an idea on the parsha, but connected to Elul, which I saw in a sefer, Sorry I Love Him. And it starts with the first pasuk. The first pasuk of the parsha says, Re'ei onoichi noisein lifneichem hayoim brocha uklola. Hashem says through Moshe Rabbeinu, see, I'm placing before you today the bracha, the blessing, and the opposite of blessing. Now, there's a question about the word lifneichem. Anoichi noisein lifneichem. What does it mean I'm placing before you? It could have simply, in a more simpler way, it could have said, Re'ei onoichi noisein lochem. I'm giving you today, noisein lochem, giving you. But it doesn't use that. It uses the expression lifneichem, which sometimes is translated, I'm placing before you, so to speak. But we need to understand, maybe there's also some other angles in this word, lifneichem. So as we said before, that we are now coming into the days of Rachamim, days of Slichus, days of Elul, which of course the theme of Elul is the reflection of the year gone by and the concept of tshuva. And we know in Chazal there are different types of tshuva. There's what we call tshuva meyira, the tshuva out of fear, then there's the tshuva me'ahava, out of love. Tshuva of fear, the Gemara says, takes our transgressions and transforms them into shoygigin, into inadvertent transgressions. But tshuva me'ahava is the tshuva that comes out of love, which there, it actually takes the transgressions and turns them into merits, into mitzvahs almost. Now, of course, you can't take an actual avera and turn it into a mitzvah. An avera is something which is against Hashem's will. But there's something about that the avera can be transformed into something positive. The energy, the perspective of the avera can become something positive. And we've spoken about this many times, but today I want to just offer one particular angle. So the way he explains it is as follows. There's a pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan that tells us, it's really a pasuk that tells us not to forget the event of Matan Torah. But the way it's worded in the pasuk is, Raki Shomelecho, be very careful, Pentishkach es hadavarim asher yoro'u einecho. You must be careful lest you forget the things that you've seen. And maybe it'll be removed from your heart. And so on and so forth, right? Now, simple, but it's a very double expression, because simply all it's telling you is to not forget Har Sinai, but it comes like with a double expression. I could have just said Hishama Lachar, be careful not to remember, not to forget the day you stood at Har Sinai. But it starts with a much more general thing about not forgetting all those things that happened, kind of thing. What does that mean? So he explains the following. He says, we all have a past, and we know. And I'm going to paraphrase a bit and just add some extra explanations a little bit as I'm going along. We know that one of the perspectives that we have, of course, in Elul, and we do tshuva, it's a new year, a new beginning, a new opportunity. And because of that, we all have a past. But it's interesting that the past is emphasized in Elul as well, because we make a cheshbon. Elul is known as the chodesh ha-cheshbon, the month where we actually do focus on the past. We focus on all the things that we've done over the past year, the good and the not so good. We reflect on that. We take stock and we make an account. And then we always get told, you know, but actually, no, it's a new beginning. Don't worry about your past and so on. So what does it all mean? So, of course, the past is something we'd like to forget often. And it's something that we can get very depressed or very despondent when we think too much about our past. We maybe might create a feeling that we're a failure. We might create a feeling that I'm not able to really do tshuva properly. I'm not able to grow because look how much I've been mistaken. Look at the mistakes I've made. Look at the failures I've experienced and so on and so forth. So what is the right perspective? The right perspective, the way Hashem really wants it to do, is the following. But of course we have to look at the past. We have to be absolutely confident that the future is going to be good. We have to be absolutely confident that Hashem will forgive us. He'll bless us with a new year. We have to be absolutely confident that whatever happened till now, we have the ability to grow and to do mitzvahs and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to daven and so on and so forth. But the past, when looked at properly, doesn't have to be confronting. The past can be a teacher. The past can be the catalyst for greater growth, because the past is our best teacher of how we can grow, the best information of how to confront and take responsibility and to fix and to evaluate and to strategize for the things that we are weak in and the things that we have to grow in. So therefore, Hashem actually wants us to look at the past, but wants us to look at the past in a positive way, to learn from it, to learn how to grow it, to use it as a catalyst for greater growth and greater spiritual connection. And that is why the Torah says, with the Pasuk, it tells not to forget Har Sinai. It starts off with a general expression. Don't forget everything that you've experienced. So he says, this is the concept, this is the two kinds of tshuvas. The tshuva, meyira, the tshuva, just because we're scared about the future, what Hashem's going to do to us, or whatever that fear means, that means we're too scared to look at the past, we're too scared to get trapped in negativity, so we don't look at the past, and that brings a sort of limited tshuva, and therefore the averus are turned to shagogos, they're turned to inadvertent. But the tshuva, when a person does tshuva out of love, he knows that he actually loves the past. He knows that Hashem loves him and he loves Hashem, and therefore embraces the past. He embraces the past to look at the things that he's failed, and he learns from that. Then, says the Gemara, he actually takes the past and turns it into positive. He takes the Avera and turns it into almost like a mitzvah. Turns it into merits, because he's learning from the things that he did wrong. He's learning from the weaknesses, and the weaknesses are becoming the catalyst for greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you're too scared to embrace the past, tshuva meyira, that's where he learns it, then we're not able to really transform. We can get forgiven. We can be like Hashem, can look at like it was a mistake, it was inadvertent, but we don't actually get to transform the past. But when we embrace the past, then we actually use the past for greater growth, and the past becomes a positive thing. And that's where he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk in the beginning of this week's parsha, when Hashem says, Re'ei, look, I'm placing before you today, lifneichem. And the translation of lifneichem is that which came before you. I'm placing the past in front of you. I'm asking you to look at your past. But you have a choice. Re'ei anoichi noisen lifneichem hayoim, brocha uklala. It can be a blessing or it can be really bad, depending how you choose to look at it. It's your choice. You need to look at your past. But if you look at your past to get stuck there, if you look at your past, if you make a cheshbon to look at your past and just give up and be despondent and have yush, that's the opposite of blessing. But I put your past in front of you. Brocha, it can be an amazing blessing. It can be a blessing where you learn from your past how to make the future better, then it becomes a brocha. And that's really the theme of Elul, to make a cheshbon, to look at the past year, but at the same time, to actually use it out in an extremely positive way, and to really believe that we have the koyach to learn from it, and to make the future much, much better and stronger than it was before. So that's a vort on Elul could do with the parsha. Now let's have a look, just another, there's so many details in this parsha, but let's have a look at an interesting little concept. There's a very interesting Rashi in this week's Parsha, and it's got to do with eating meat when we come into Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk reads, it's Perig Yud Beis, Pasuk Chof. The Pasuk says, Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokecha Es Gvulcha. When Hashem will broaden your borders, your boundaries, as He has spoken to you. V'yomartu, and you will say, Oichla Basar, I'm going to eat meat. Ki Sa'ave Nafshecha Lechol Basar, because you just have the desire, your soul desires to eat meat, then it's okay. You may eat meat just because you want to, and the Torah tells us that we have to eat meat in a certain way, we have to shecht the meat, and so on. So Rashi comments and he says the following. Now, I'm going to just take the Rashi's words. Rashi is actually based on Chazal, where there's actually a machlokes in this pasuk, what it means, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Rashi takes a little bit from Rabbi Akiva, a little bit from Rabbi Shmuel, But Rashi does that because Rashi's function is not to talk about the halacha. Rashi's function is to explain the simple pshat in the pasuk. So we're taking the perspective of Rashi, which is a combination of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, of how it works. Rashi says, first of all, what does it mean, ki yarchiv? That Hashem will broaden. And Hashem broadens your borders. Says Rashi, and on the surface it's interesting, Rashi, limdo Torah derech eretz. The Torah is teaching you proper conduct, that you shouldn't just want to eat meat, only when rachavas yudayim, when you have broadness of hands, like you have wealth, you have prosperity, you have expansion, you have generosity. That's the time you should eat meat. Otherwise, you really shouldn't eat meat. Okay, so that's, in other words, eating meat's appropriate when you're in that sort of broadened space, expanded space. Then Rashi says, you can eat meat when you desire, says Rashi. That was something that didn't happen in the desert. Rashi says that in the desert, they were never allowed to eat meat if it was just stumped to eat meat. If it was called basar chulin, basar taiva, which means you ate meat just because you wanted a good steak. But you had to first only, if you sanctified the animal, brought it as a korban, as a sacrifice, and then you could eat part of the meat if it was a korban shlamim, if it was a peace offering, where sometimes even the owner of the korban can eat the meat, then it's okay to eat meat. But when you come into Eretz Yisrael, we were allowed to eat meat in general, as long as we shecht it and prepare it properly, and so on. Therefore, we're allowed to eat meat when we come into Eretz Yisrael. Now, this, we need to understand, first of all, why is that? Why in the Midbar they weren't allowed to eat meat, but in Eretz Yisrael they were allowed to eat meat? And also, what does Rashi mean on a deeper spiritual level? What does it mean you shouldn't eat meat unless your borders have been broadened and you're expanded? What does that mean? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe once explained the following idea, a very foundational concept. We know that that when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, the whole lifestyle changed. Their journey in the Midbar was very spiritual. They were learning Torah the whole time. They had the clouds of glory protecting them. And they didn't really engage with the physical. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they started to engage in the physical, as we've spoken about before. They had to work, they had to toil. And this distinction between Eretz Yisrael, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and the experience of the desert, also manifested itself in the food that they ate. So in the Midbar, they ate mon. Mon was actually a spiritual food, right? The spiritual food, you could taste the taste, but really wasn't tangible. And in fact, that's why in there's places in the Chumash where it refers to it as being hungry, because they couldn't see what they were eating. But it was really very, very much more on a spiritual level, which is part of the concept why they weren't allowed to eat meat, which was basar taiva, which is meat for desire purposes, because everything had to be done in a spiritual concept context. When they came to them, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they were suddenly engaging in the physical, and that also translated in this idea that they were actually allowed to eat meat, proper meat, because that was a much more physical existence. On the surface, what this means is that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, their spiritual level declined, descended. They now were on a lower level, on the one hand. On the other hand, we actually understand that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they actually achieved their ultimate purpose. Kolev ben Yefuneh, after the Meraglim, at the story of the spies, he referred to going to Eretz Yisrael as Oloi Naale. We will come up. We will be elevated. Why will we be elevated? Because the truth is, yes, descending into the physical seems to be a spiritual decline, a spiritual descent. But actually, it's really becoming closer to Hashem, because you are elevating the spiritual, physical world. You are doing what Hashem really wants us to do. We are taking the meat, we are taking the houses, we are taking the land, and we are elevating it to Kedusha. We are sifting out the spirituality, that we're elevating it to a much more spiritual level, and we're actually bringing Hashem into the physical world. To do that, and to be connected to Hashem, there's a couple of things we need to bear in mind. First of all, we actually need to believe that when we go into the physical, Hashem actually gives us extra spiritual powers. that without those powers, we're not able to do it. Which is why, in the Midbar, they weren't allowed to eat meat just for desire purposes. Because in the Midbar, obviously, they actually did not have the power to elevate just mundane meat. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were given extra power. Extra power to survive spiritually and to be successful spiritually while they eat meat in a physical way. Which is why, this is the depth of the Rashi, that when they go into Eretz Yisrael, Ki yarchiv Hashem gvulcha, Hashem will expand your borders. Spiritually, He will give you extra spiritual powers that will allow you to eat meat in a physical, mundane way, and yet to survive it spiritually, and not only to survive it, be successful spiritually, and actually elevate it. What is the strategy, however? We have the power to do this. Now, that's what it means, the broadening of the borders. So we have it, we can understand it from there are two things we have to bear in mind, two conditions. Number one, we obviously have to have a spiritual experience first to absorb those extra powers. And this we can see from a halacha that we find every single day. The halacha is that to eat a meal just for eating purposes, we are forbidden to do it before davening. There is a heter to eat before davening if it's for the purpose of davening or to daven better. But really, when one wakes up in the morning, the focus has to be davening. Only after davening, then we can sit down to a meal. Why? Same idea. Because we have to first have the midbar experience. We have to first have the desert experience. Just like the Yidden had the desert spiritual experience before they went into the land of Israel, we need to have that experience too, where we detach from the world and we spiritualize. We completely immerse ourselves in the spiritual experience. Once that is finished, then we are equipped. Then Hashem gives ourselves extra powers to go into the world and to eat breakfast and to eat lunch and to eat food so we can elevate it and bring Kedusha into it. Number one. Number two. Very soon after the Torah tells us that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we can eat meat for mundane purposes. We don't have to have a korban. We can just eat a meal where we can eat steak and chops and things like that. The Torah says, Rak chazak, you have to be very careful. Levilti acholas adam, you should not eat blood. We're not permitted to eat blood. The blood we have to get rid of. What does that mean spiritually? Blood, we know, hadam hu anefesh, even by us, the physical people, human beings, the blood is where the soul is, the passion is, the excitement is. That's what blood represents, the life force of something. Hashem says, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be engaged in the physical. The purpose is, because you're going to elevate the physical world, you're going to make it more godly and bring God into the world. But it's only going to be successful if, number one, you first have that midbar experience. And secondly, don't eat the blood. Get rid of the passion. Get rid of the obsession. If one lives their life and all they're excited about is their physical experience, the material possessions, the material pursuit, materialism, hedonism, that's what becomes their vibrance, their passion, then it draws you down rather than you elevating it. And that's what the Torah says, you can eat meat. You have the power. I've given you extra powers. Ki yarchiv Hashem gvulcha. I've given you extra powers to elevate the physical, but don't eat the blood. Don't get passionate about the materialism, because then you won't elevate it. So every single day, this is our lesson. We start the day with a spiritual experience. We don't eat before then. We start with a spiritual experience. Then we have the extra powers to go into the world and engage with the physical and bring godliness into it and holiness into it. But we always have to remain attached. Our power, our koch, our blood, our passion always has to be about spirituality and connection to Hashem, Torah, mitzvahs. We can be successful and have everything we want and elevate it, but we can't direct our passion towards the physical and the material, and then it becomes a successful journey of elevating the world around us. Have a good day and a good Shabbos.